You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is News Team correspondent Andrew Rainey, and today I'm speaking with Todd Oklachany, who is the Department Director of the Planning and Urban Design Department of the City of Asheville.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate you having me on your program.
Last Thursday morning, the city's zoning administrator sent four zoning violations to four organizations located in West Asheville, including to Caro's West and 12 Baskets, concerning the establishment of a shelter in the HR3 zoning district where it's not permitted. I wondered, first of all, with this zoning violation, what constitutes a shelter?
Sure. So the city's Unified Development Ordinance, or UDO, is our official zoning ordinance for the city of Asheville. And we have definitions of shelter as well as a list of permitted uses within each zoning district.
And so in this case, how is it that you found Caro's West and 12 Baskets operating a shelter?
So the decision was made sort of through a group decision. We look at each case on a case-by-case basis when we do receive a complaint for any particular property. In this case, when we looked at the complaints and the uses of the property, we felt that this shelter definition was the appropriate use for these sites. But our UDO does define the shelter. It's really any time we have sort of a nonprofit, charitable, or religious organization that provides boarding and or lodging, as well as any sort of secondary or ancillary services on the premises, primarily for the needy persons experiencing homelessness or transient persons.
Speaking with Caro's West and 12 Baskets organizers, as well as Firestorm, none of these groups have condoned people sleeping on that property. Does that change the constitution of a shelter?
We feel that the shelter definition, in terms of the boarding part of the definition, also includes kind of providing food, you know, services to those persons. I'd really try to take a look at each property on a case-by-case basis, and for the subject property and organizations that received the notice of violation from the city, in this case, we felt that the shelter definition was the appropriate sort of use for the property.
In these violation notices, it also refers to Firestorm and the Steady Collective regarding a needle exchange program, where it is not specifically listed for use. The Steady Collective mentioned that needle exchange services are regulated by the state. Is there a zoning regulation that restricts needle exchanges in the city?
Currently, for the sites that received, or the organizations that received the notice of violations for the needle exchange program, when we looked at the UDO and the allowable uses for the HR3 district that the property is located in, we felt that the needle exchange program at this time was not a permitted use in that district. But I think that a lot of times our UDO is not just a stagnant kind of sit on the shelf type of document. We try to be proactive when we can to try to address any types of trends that are occurring in the city. In this case, I think the opioid crisis is really a trend that's just hit and really impacted many cities throughout the country, and particularly it's hit the city of Asheville and Buncombe County hard. So we're really trying to do our best to try to address these trends. And I very much look forward to hearing input and having dialogue with the recipients that receive the notices from the city, as well as other community members, to see how we might want to look at possibly changing our UDO or our zoning ordinance in the future so that we can make sure that we're addressing the trend such as this, and that we're doing so in a way that really takes into account many perspectives.
Regarding this specific violation, though, is it possible that the city is in conflict with state law and will need to reverse its notice?
Well, generally speaking, the North Carolina general statutes allow cities to zone properties and zone for specific allowable land uses, and with the intent and purpose of protecting public health and safety and overall public welfare. So we feel that the North Carolina state statutes allow us to kind of regulate land uses, including a shelter or a needle exchange program. But that being said, we are very empathetic toward the services that are being provided by Kairos West, 12 Baskets, the Steady Collective, and Firestorm Cafe. I truly believe that the services that they are providing are invaluable to the community and to folks that rely on those services. But I think there's just a balance that we're trying to achieve to also address some of the concerns that we've heard for public health and safety in that particular neighborhood.
I'd love to hear more about city's vision and kind of goals and moving towards that. But very quickly, I'd like to continue on with the zoning violations specifically and the nature of the language that's recorded on that. I notice 12 Baskets and the Steady Collective use Kairos West and Firestorm respectively as outlets for their services, but are not property owners, renters, or businesses themselves. Can the city issue a zoning violation to a group that is not a tenant or a business?
It's not uncommon for us to send notices of violation to not just a property owner or a tenant, but basically to any party or organization where an issue might be occurring. And the reason for that is now that we've sent these notices to all these various organizations at the property, it really gives them an opportunity to huddle together, talk about the violations and any of the issues that they've heard from their respective neighborhood and community, and try to identify any type of mutual solutions. So really, it is a common practice for us to send out, again, notices to not just the tenants or property owners, but really to the party where we've received or analyzed that site for a potential violation. In this case, we did send it to the four organizations that are at the property, as well as the property owner. And I just would really like to highlight, too, that in no way does the violation that we sent out, it's not intended to force anyone off the property. More often than not, the planning department and the city really try to work with recipients of that notice of violation and try to work toward some type of resolution where we're generally, more often than not, we generally don't issue any types of fines. It does happen, but we generally do try to work with recipients of that notice of violation to try to come up with a resolution.
So at this point, a 30-day notice has been given. For these various organizations, what steps would need to be taken to come into compliance as the city sees it?
So we've had some preliminary conversations with each of the tenants and organizations that receive the notice of violation, and we are available to answer any questions that they have. But I don't want to be presumptuous toward what type of solution that those organizations might come up with. I'd want to respect what I think has been a really organic process, where those organizations held a community meeting on August 9th with stakeholders in their community, and we're really relying on the input that we receive from the organizations and from the community. We think that's a really important part of this process, that there's this sort of mutual solutions and ideas that are organically happening due to the dialogue that we're having.
So this meeting from August 9th, which was last Thursday, was that public meeting in reaction to the notice. City representatives were present but declined to speak at that time. Are there reflections at this time?
Absolutely. And I think the main point is that we wanted to ensure that we asked to be there and have some city representation so we can kind of hear what the dialogue was, what some of the issues and concerns were, not just from the neighborhood, but also to start to hear some ideas that were being developed by the organizations, by Kairos West and 12 Baskets and Steady Collective and Firestorm Cafe. So we were really just there to kind of listen to the community, listen to the organizations, and we look forward to continuing to have a dialogue with those organizations, with the community, again, to try to develop some mutual solutions that might not just impact West Asheville, but essentially there could be changes citywide for other neighborhoods as well. And so we look forward again to kind of having that dialogue and continuing those conversations with those groups.
Some of the calls made during the meeting were for public restrooms and public sharps collection containers in West and other parts of Asheville. Is it a possibility for the city to provide some of those resources?
Those are certainly some options that we also took note of. Right now, I am familiar that there are some public restrooms in the area, including the West Asheville Recreation Center and some of the nearby parks along the river. Not to say that's providing enough public restrooms, but that's certainly one of the solutions that we ought to have a conversation about. I think as it relates to some of the containers and sharps containers, I am aware that we do have some of those currently at Asheville City Hall. And I'm aware that the Buncombe County Health and Human Services Department is also working on some programs as it relates to both a needle exchange program and sharps containers, to my understanding. So I believe that those sorts of solutions are solutions that we ought to continue to talk about and see where those types of available resources could be placed throughout the community, whether it's West Asheville or in downtown or at other City of Asheville public facilities.
The services offered at 12 Baskets and the Steady Collective have been in operation for about 2 years when needle exchange programs were legalized in North Carolina. Why, after 2 years, has this emerged as an issue now?
The impetus for the city's involvement in the issuance of the notices of violation were really because of several reasons. We had sort of an uptick or an increase in complaints and phone calls to the Asheville Police Department that were noted over a few months long period. At the same time, we received a number of different emails and phone calls, either from business owners or tenants, or from anonymous folks that live in the neighborhood. And we also had a number of folks that submitted complaints via the city's Asheville app, which is available both on a smartphone app or online. So we really work on more of a complaint basis when it comes to looking at a prospective property that might be under violation or not compliant with the city's UDO or zoning ordinance. And that's generally how we operate for the most part is really on more of a complaint-based basis. And that's really just based on the available resources that we have to address complaints.
One of the other responses in that public meeting was in regards to the number of suspected illegal Airbnb operations in West Asheville. Should people complain about those kinds of operations, would that likely inspire zoning violations prompted to people having illegal Airbnb operations out of their household?
Certainly. We do, in the Planning and Urban Design Department here at the City of Asheville, we do have code enforcement and zoning enforcement as it relates to short-term vacation rentals, such as Airbnb, as well as illegal homestays that might be located throughout the city. So we do have a program for that, and we have several of our zoning enforcement officers do go out on a regular basis to investigate whether there is an illegal short-term vacation rental that's occurring. We also contract with a company called Host Compliance, which is a software company that helps us to properly identify potential illegal short-term vacation rental sites throughout the city. So we do monitor that software every day, and we issue notices of violations on a continuing basis, as those non-compliant sites arise.
From what I understand, the Steady Collective is offering a training Thursday, August 16th, likely after this is aired, that seeks to address common community concerns of used syringes in West Asheville. It seems that may aid in reducing complaints for the resources offered at Kairos West and Firestorm.
Certainly, I think that's a great step in the right direction. I truly believe that the tenants and organizations at the site, based on my conversations and other conversations with my staff, that they truly want to be good neighbors. And I think that sounds like a really great step forward in that direction. And they could be great neighbors and also provide really invaluable services to the community at the same time.
Should listeners be interested in learning more about these zoning violations or just have questions to the city, can you offer any resources for listeners to contact city officials?
Sure. If there are any zoning or land use related questions, folks may call or email me, Todd Oclachini, Planning and Urban Design Director, or Shannon Tuck is our zoning administrator here at the city. And one of us will be very happy to kind of cover any questions that anyone has.
Well, thank you so much, Todd, for speaking with us at Asheville FM today.
Appreciate it, Andrew. Thanks very much for having me on the program again.
Look forward to seeing how the city works together with community members to move towards a greater public safety in a general sense.
Absolutely. We're happy to provide any resources that we can, and we're happy to be just a part of the conversation and a part of the dialogue.